Another week, another time for KCIM Sports Rewind for you guys here on this Tuesday. It's not KCIM Sports Rewind anymore. Jeff's giving me a scold over here. If you could see him right now, he's sitting here scolding me in the face. It's a CB Sports Network Rewind on KCIM now. There we go. Finally got it right.
Yes, and I didn't scold you until after you said something.
We have got a special guest today that I think people are going to be kind of interested to hear about. You know, his parents went over, played at the University of Iowa State, and he goes over there, builds out his kind of carves his own legacy, getting to play on some really good football teams over there. As we got Caden Cook going to join us today here.
Some of the best ever.
Going to be joining us here today on KCIM Sports Rewind.
Yeah, let's go ahead and bring him on. Caden, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Good. What are you up to at this time of the year right now?
I'm finishing up school. I got to finish out and then graduate in May.
How much do you have left?
I'm only in two classes right now, so that's all I got left.
It sounds like is it a busy time of the year then with only two classes, or are you kind of just kind of coasting and getting ready and say ready for graduation already?
Oh, getting ready for graduation. Not too busy at all.
Caden, for you, how weird is it, though, not to be in spring practice right now?
Oh, it's weird. I don't know what to do with myself. It's a lot more free time. Oh, yeah, it is definitely weird.
Take us through your time playing at Iowa State. You know, both your parents go over there. Your mom plays basketball. Dad's on the football team. What was it like getting to play for Coach Campbell? Just kind of take us through your time playing there at Iowa State.
Oh, it was a great time. I mean, my freshman year, I think, was our worst year. We went 4-8, and that was a little awakening right away. But we picked it up every year, I think. Junior year, we went, I think, 11-3, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, I learned a lot about football. We stayed busy throughout college. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great 4 years.
Caden, you mentioned the struggles that Iowa State had your freshman year over there. There were some expectations that season as well. And then if I remember right, it was some injuries and stuff like that that maybe derailed you guys a little bit. But how much was that the driving force in the off season for you guys not to have to, you know, go through that and not have another type of season like that?
Oh, yeah, it was a big driver. I mean, we made a lot of changes here. We got a new strength staff in, a lot of new coaches. We went a lot harder in the summer, a lot harder in the winter, because, I mean, nobody enjoys going 4-8, so I think that was a big driver in everyone that was there to really turn it around. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
So, Caden, I know you're probably familiar with Carroll, obviously, and kind of the weight program that they have, but what's kind of a jump from going from Carroll High to the Division I level with weights and with conditioning and all that?
Oh, it's a big jump. It's a lot more time. You lift 4 times a week, but you really lift like pretty much 6 times a week here. And I mean, it's different too here because there's nutritionists and 5 strength coaches and a bunch of, you know, big guys that you're trying to compete with and lifting and stuff like that. And I mean, it definitely made me a big jump. I think I put on 30 pounds of muscle here over 4 years, which it's hard to do. So props to the Iowa State strength staff.
Absolutely. Caden, I know I saw you this winter at a basketball game, and it's always amazing to me. I remember the same thing with Blaze over at Nebraska, how big you guys get. You were a big, strong kid in high school. You mentioned, though, you know, the jump from high school to college. Did your dad, having played over there, did he kind of help explain to you the differences that you were going to be walking into, especially when it came to weight training?
Yeah, he did a good job of explaining to me, you know, it's like a – he explained very well. There was a different level. It was going to be a lot harder, a lot more time-consuming. You know, coaches aren't going to be as nice and all that, which was fine. But it was nice to have him tell me, like, give me a heads up, you know what to expect. Kind of don't walk in and get hit in the face.
So your time at Iowa State, you know, for your 4 years there, what was it like navigating the constant scene? Because you see so much now with the transfer portal and people coming in, coming and going. What was it like not really knowing, hey, do I have a spot here next year? How did you kind of get that mindset with so many players coming and going off the team?
good thing here that they don't have as much turnover, or they haven't the last 4 years. This last year's been a little different, but not as much turnover here. I mean, we retained a lot of high percentage of our guys, which was good. It was more of the team atmosphere, I would say, than college football could be, which helped a lot. And I don't know, we had some great coaches, so I didn't have to worry too much. It was weird. You do get a lot of new faces in every year still, but a lot of those guys ended up being good guys, and I don't know, it kind of worked out well for the Cyclones.
Caden, talk about that family atmosphere and that caring about more than the name on the back of the jersey, kind of caring about the front of the jersey as much that Coach Campbell built there while you were there.
Yeah, that was a big thing of Campbell's and Coach Haycox. It was a big deal for them to build a real team and not just a transactional team to go win on a Saturday, but to win through character and win through caring and playing hard. And I mean, just kind of how I think sports should be. So it was really, kind of awesome. I loved how they built up their culture and their team.
Your time going through Carroll, and probably what was the recruiting process, I want to know, like, for you leaving Carroll and figuring out you wanted to play college football, and what was it about Coach Campbell and the Cyclones that, you really ultimately chose you decided to go there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to a bunch of camps my junior year, and then had a couple small offers, and then I got the walk-on opportunity from Iowa State, and just with my parents playing here, and that probably definitely being my biggest offer, I was like, why not? Went here, and glad I did.
And, Iowa State had some cool experiences over your 4 years there. You guys get to go play in Dublin. You get to go to a different bowl game kind of every year there. Talk to us kind of about those experiences as well and the unique travels and fun times that you guys got to experience.
Right. I think the most fun was the Pop-Tart Bowl in Orlando. That was an incredible bowl game, and we won, which made it a lot more fun, too. And then Dublin was really cool. I mean, when do you get to go to Dublin to play a football game? The only thing about the Dublin trip is it's really a business trip, so we didn't get to see too much, but it was still really cool to get out of the country. It was my first time.
Caden, you mentioned with the Pop-Tart Bowl, how winning it made it a little more special. You hear so many people anymore say, well, if you don't make the playoffs, the bowl games don't matter. I get the sense from you for the players, at least for most of you probably anyway, that's still a game. It's still competing, and that game while you're there still means something to you guys.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think the type of team we had and the type of guy I am, if we're going to show up and play the game, then we're going to go try and win it. And it was a lot of fun to win it. So I don't know. I'm glad that I was on a type of team with a culture like that and that we were able to get the job done. I mean, I think it is important.
Speaking of your playing time there, Caden, what was some of your favorite stadiums to go play in and stuff like that? Was it getting to go down to Florida and playing the Pop-Tart Bowl? Kind of what were your favorite stadiums you got to play in?
The Pop-Tart Bowl, Camping World Stadium was cool. Kinnick was by far the loudest stadium I played in. I think Cincinnati got pretty loud and rowdy too. It was kind of in a bowl. Put me on the spot. I'm trying to think of all the places we played. TCU was pretty cool.
Well, as an Iowa fan, I'm happy to hear that Kinnick was the loudest stadium that you got to play in, so that makes me happy at least.
Part of that, Caden, probably was the in-state rivalry part of that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
For you, though, with that, bringing up the Hawkeyes, a former teammate, over there at the same time in Ty Nissen, what was it like? Did you guys get a chance to catch up with each other on the field or before or after the game, anything like that? You get to play with a guy that you played with in high school. What's that experience like?
Well, that was cool. I talked to him for maybe a second after the game. Those games all get kind of rowdy, those Cy-Hawk games. So I did see him after. It is cool to play against them, and even DJ,
yep,
Benami from Kemper, was kind of out there when I was on special teams too. So
did you guys,
there's just something about that Seahawks game, though, that gets a little exciting.
Yeah. Did you and DJ ever have to, like, block each other or run into each other while you're on the field playing?
Oh, no, he blocked the guy next to me, so I should have moved over.
What's it like getting to play in rivalry games like that? Because in high school you got rivalry games, and but they're not the same atmosphere that you see at the college level. What is it like getting to play in a game like that, not just against Iowa, because, you know, you got Kansas State and stuff like that for the Cyclones?
It's just I feel like it's a different type of week. Like, you try and not make it a different type of week as much as you can, just because you know the routine and you know what to do all week to be at your best. But in Ames, I mean, people are hanging banners all over town, and same in Iowa City, and Ames gets crowded or Iowa City gets crowded 2 days before the game. And I mean, it's just, I feel like you just got to keep yourself under control as much as possible and then just play that a little extra harder on Saturday.
You know, Caden,
you do feel a lot better when you win those type of games.
Caden, we kind of talked about the football aspect of it as well, but one of the things that kind of goes overlooked is the academic aspect of being a student athlete at the next level. What does that balance kind of look like for youth over those 4 years?
It definitely got challenging at times, especially early on when I was in a lot of classes, but I don't know. I feel like it's something that you just kind of got to do and get done and do the best of your ability. But yeah, it does get, especially during, I would say, the football season in the fall, it gets really, really time-consuming. And most of the time, you feel like you're kind of tired, too. So, you know, the last thing you want to do is really school. But it's just, I don't know. You got to get it done.
Caden, what was a normal week for you like in the fall? You mentioned how busy, there's so much film study and game prep, and then you got practices, classes, still weightlifting. So, you know, what was and how long of a day was a normal day for you in game week?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we started, probably get breakfast around 6:30, and then some meetings, like defensive meeting, special teams meeting, team meeting, from like 7 to about 9:30, and then probably about a two-hour practice after that till about 11:30. Get lunch, and then you got class until whenever you have class, but usually till about 5, and then you meet again from like around 5 to 5:30 or 6 at night. And then usually you guys will go in and get some more treatment and stuff in there, or watch some extra tape, or get a little workout in, or I mean, that's, you usually do something like that every day, too, just to keep the body fresh or get a little ahead. But, yeah, that's a typical day during the fall.
I can understand how that would wear you down. You mentioned something about the training table. I've been in several press boxes, you know, over my career between Iowa State and Nebraska and Kansas State and a few others that I've been lucky enough to sit in the press box. They serve some really good food to the press. I can't imagine how good is that food that you guys get to eat, because they're trying to put, like you mentioned, 30 pounds of muscle on you during your career. They don't want you eating bad, so how good is that food?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's good food. I mean, it's a lot of meat, a lot of chicken, rice, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I will never, after cooking for myself for the last couple months, I'll never complain about that food ever again. But breakfast was good. They made omelets and burritos. And, I mean, yeah, it was actually pretty incredible. Nobody ever went hungry there.
Caden, you went into the program as a walk-on. You talked about that a little bit. How did you separate yourself from other kids to get that playing time that you saw in your career?
I was just went really hard, just worked out hard, practiced really hard, tried to learn, tried to figure things out, because there's a lot of stuff to know about football, so especially trying to figure out my role, where I could fit in and play. And I mean it wasn't easy, but I saw other people do it ahead of me, get on the field, and I was like, try to emulate some of what they did, and glad that I got a chance, and I feel like it went pretty good.
Did you have a favorite moment in a game, a play you made or anything like that, that, you know, 30 years from now when you sit back and talk with the grandkids, you know, someday about your career at Iowa State, that'll be probably the first play you talk about?
Yeah, I think I had a couple of kickoff tackles in Ireland that I liked, especially since it was the first game of the year and you never really know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And it was in Ireland, so. But I had a couple of, I feel like, big hits on there, and that was pretty fun to me.
Caden, you had a chance to come back this coming fall and play for Iowa State or go somewhere else. How was that process to decide, hey, you know what, I'm gonna hang it up and end my career on a good note? And compared to, you know, coming back, did you get to meet the new coach, Jimmy Rogers, there? Did he have a sit-down with you? Kind of how'd that process go?
Yeah, I think two sit-downs with him, and I think he'll be a good coach and all that, but so many of my friends and the coaches I knew are gone. I mean, actually pretty much all of them. So I think that was a big part of it. Big part of it, too. This year I was, like, pretty beat up. My ankles were pretty destroyed, so that was kind of made the year pretty long. I didn't know if I wanted to come back and deal with that again. But, no, I just feel like it would have been a big, big shift in Iowa State football without Matt Campbell here. So,
Caden, I hate to bring up that, you know, as KC did there, you know, what happened this year with Coach Campbell leaving and how that affected the program. But I know I talked with your mom quite a bit, you know, kind of early basketball season for them this year, which would have been kind of, you know, late season for you guys. And then, you know, as those changes were occurring, and she kind of told me a few times off record, you know, kind of how things were going for you and stuff. How tough is that to see what coach built and then to have the coach and a lot of the coaching staff leave? And what does that do to the kids like you, you know, the guys that are still there? Because, you know, I think a lot of times people forget, you know, because everybody's going for the better job or the bigger money, and even in the transfer portal, but they forget the human aspect of what that happens and how it affects guys like you.
Right. I think it was definitely kind of out of nowhere, I feel like, and that kind of sucked. And another thing is we got to miss our bowl game. We didn't get to go to a bowl game, so that also was unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of – I don't think the guys took it very well right away. I think it was a little bit surprising, which is kind of understandable. But, yeah, I don't know. A lot of guys kind of got mad about it and left here. But – I don't know if there's a good way for a coach to leave these days. I mean, all over the country.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Your ankles, you mentioned how beat up they are. How damaged in a way, I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but how beat up does a body get playing D1 college football, especially, you know, at a place like Iowa State?
Oh, I think the biggest thing is every guy's got some sort of problem, but a lot of guys' shoulders are beat up just from hitting, especially the tight ends and linebackers. Their shoulders are pretty much gone by the end of the year. I mean, my legs got tired. My ankles were destroyed to start the year, and then I had some shoulder problems on top. I mean, I feel like all the freshmen and sophomores come in, and they're like, oh, it's not that bad. And then about junior year hits, and they're like, oh, ow, kind of beat up now. But that's kind of how I was my junior year. My body started to hurt a lot more.
I'm guessing though you wouldn't change it. You'd go through it again if you could go through it again.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Caden, for you, you mentioned you're getting ready to graduate. School is finally winding down for you. What's the future for you? Where are you headed? Do you know yet? And what do you want to do?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna move back to Carroll and I'm going to farm with my dad and see what else is available. And, yeah, so I'll be back in Carroll here in a month or so.
Any conversations with Coach Rowe about, you know, seeing if they need any help on the staff?
Oh, I think eventually I'll be helping on the staff. Once I get settled down in Carroll, I'll try and coach somewhere. I think got to stay around the game. That'd be fun.
Caden, we want to thank you for joining us, and good luck coming up in the future and everything like that, and congratulations on a great career at Iowa State.
Yes, thank you.
You bet, Caden. Yeah, thanks for everything over the years. It was a blast getting a chance to kind of follow your career, and great young man, and I know Coach Rowetter is going to be excited. I think the Carroll community should be excited to get you coming back to town. So thanks for everything over your entire career.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was a Caden Cook with the Carroll Tigers. Well, not Carroll Tigers, Iowa State Cyclones. Yeah. Played for Carroll High and everything like that. But such a great interview we had with him. And it's interesting because we don't get that very often.
Right.
You know, we've got DJ over in Iowa right now doing really good things, but we don't get that very often where
right.
kids go and have success and get to talk to them about their experiences. So I thought that was a great yeah. for him to come and join us today.
And speaking of DJ and Ty, we're going to try and reach out to Iowa and see if we can't get them guys on here soon, too. And talk to them about how things are, you know, going over at, you know, the University of Iowa and where they're headed and what, you know, for Ty and those guys, eventually what the yeah. future is going to be for him. DJ's got, I think, what, two more years left?
Yep.
And he should have a great next
hopefully, two years coming
up with the way he played this season at tight end. So, yeah, but a lot of fun to catch up with those guys,
you know.
It was so much fun watching Caden kind of come through high school and seeing how good he was and knowing that he was going to play somewhere pretty special at the next level and then to be able to follow the career over at Iowa State.
We will step away. We'll take a break. We'll be back talking some local sports here on KCIM Sports Rewind.
Hi, this is Carroll County Sheriff Ken Pingree. It's planting season, and that means farm traffic on our rural roads. These vehicles often travel much slower than other traffic, so drivers should stay alert, slow down, and be patient when approaching tractors and planters. Always wait for a safe opportunity to pass, and never assume the operator can see you. Farmers can also help by properly lighting and marking their equipment and by watching carefully for approaching vehicles when entering roadways. Please be safe this spring.
Join us for our annual free shred event on Friday, April 17th from 11 to 1 at 1187 East Anthony Street. Bring up to 5 boxes or bags per person and have your documents safely shredded on site. This year, we're collecting non-perishable food items and donations to support New Opportunities Food Pantry. It's fast, secure, and for a great cause. When security counts, you can count on Secure Shred Solutions, family-owned and operated. Don't miss it, Friday, April 17th, 11 to 1.
This is Carol, workplace educator at New Opportunities. An opioid overdose can happen faster than you think, and Narcan can save a life. If someone is unresponsive, breathing slowly, or not at all, it may be an overdose. Call 911, lay the person on their back, tilt their head, and spray Narcan into one nostril. Narcan is safe, easy to use, and won't harm someone if opioids aren't present. In Carroll County, you can get Narcan nasal spray at your local public health office and New Opportunities or at most pharmacy. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness and prevention in our community.
You are listening to the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on a KCIM. I got it right this time, Jeff, so you don't gotta worry about that.
Yeah, you'll learn.
Hey, we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. We will get there eventually. And one thing that we were joking about, Mason came in and was like, man, last night was really long with how much local sports you guys had. It was a crazy busy night on Monday to kick off the week.
Yeah, what'd you learn about last night, Mason?
I learned that when we have to stay all the way until the 4x4 runs at a track meet, that it gets to be a long night. Because I realized this, too, is when I looked at our interviews, my second-to-last interview, it was bright out and still sunny, and then I look at my last one, and it's pitch black out, and it was right after the mile, and I think we left right after the last heat of the 4x1.
Yep.
So we were there pretty late, but every golf team was in action. We had all but one soccer team in action, tennis, and then two track meets. So, I mean, it was a full night of spring sports and kind of the first full night for us of actually having everything go on.
So it was the first really late night. I remember he's asked me a few times, he's like, why don't we ever stay until the very end of all the track meets that we go to? And I'm like, well, because we would work until the early hours of the morning, you know, and stuff if we did that and everything. So I said something to him last night when we were there. I'm like, we're going to be here till close to the end of the night. I says, I'm gauging around 3 o'clock or so before we wrap up. And he's like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, probably going to be close to that. And you were what, 215, 230-ish?
I think 211, I think, is when I actually walked out to my car.
Yeah, so he got out of here a little after 2. I can't remember. It was after 3 that I recorded and sent you guys the sports reports for this morning. So, yeah, it was a late one, but it was fun. I tell you what, I had a blast at the track meet last night. You know, we got to see a lot of really good athletes. IKM Manning broke a school record last night. Was at the 4x1. On the boys' side of things. So a lot of fun and some really good competition there last night. So nice to see finally a night where it was nice enough that we didn't have to worry about postponements and cancellations and all of the things that the kids and coaches and ADs have been dealing with for the last 2 weeks.
Who really stood out last night in that track? I mean, I know you mentioned Ikea Manning. They're off to a really good start this season.
Luol Thargiath stood out for me from Carroll. I mean, he ran the 200 open for the first time, and he won it. He won the 110 highs and then won the high jump as well. And Coach Roger kind of joked about, you know, goes from 5'10 one meet to 6'4 the next meet. And last night he caught that 6'4. I think either 6'1 or 6'4 got up and was able to win it there. But, you know, Ikea Manning picking up from last year, they ended the season very strong and broke a couple of school records at the end of last year. They broke three on Friday over at Denison and now broke one at Carroll yesterday. So they're four deep already for their school records. But, I mean, almost every school that we covered there had some bright spots and some different fun events that they were running last night.
And I think my favorite story for Luol last night literally wasn't even the conversation with him. But we were watching him run the 110s. It was the shuttle hurdle. And we had some other area kids there, and they're like, is he just, like, stepping over the hurdles? He doesn't even look like he's having to jump. They're like, how tall is he? And, like, well, he's 6'6". And then we talked to Coach Rohetter afterwards. He's like, yeah, he does just kind of step over the hurdles in the shuttle hurdle.
That's crazy. I mean, he got long arms and long legs.
He does. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But, I guess Tristan Gordon continuing to perform well for South Central Calhoun in the discus. Addison Schoen doing extremely well in the shot put for Kemper. Were two kids that kind of, jumped off the board for me a little bit. I thought kind of the craziness of that boys open 800 last night, Mason. It was, it was kind of odd. They didn't waterfall, so they had everybody kind of starting on the start line. Mm-hmm. They had some issues with that on the first start with some pushing and shoving, because it was a lot of kids, and it was kind of hard to, kind of get everybody started clean, so they ended up restarting them. For having some great runners, the pace in the first mile or first 400 was not fast. Even talking to the kids afterwards, I think there was about 110, which is a really slow pace for how fast those kids are. But the second lap got much, much quicker. You had a couple of kids take off sprinting pretty much right at the start line when they started that second lap, and you had some other kids try to go out with them. But up until then, you pretty much had every single kid in one little bunch and stuff, because nobody had really separated. And a lot of times in an 800, you see one or two kids kind of separate through that first 400, but you didn't last night. And that one kind of turned out to be kind of fun. The times ended up being better than what you thought after that first lap. But I still think even the guys that won it might not have been completely happy with the times last night. So.
Yeah, and another one I think I forgot right away was Dayton Wiedering from Carroll going out winning the 3,200 and the 1,600. He's having a pretty good start to the year. But there was kind of a couple of those weird moments that we had throughout the night where either something went wrong or this happened in a weird way. And there was a couple of them, and with our throwing as well. And, it was 8 o'clock by the time that our throwers were coming back in there and whatever. But we got to talk to Tristan, and that was fun to talk to. But, with the last week of Drake qualifying times and throws and all that, this should be one of those weeks where you're seeing some of those better throws and times and jumps or anything that we got.
Yeah, and even up at the meet at Southeast Valley last night, we had Peyton Shredden and Glidden boys up there. And they run theirs with two different kind of class sizes. So the bigger schools are in Class A, and then the smaller schools are in Class B. So it's kind of a nice way to split things up. So Peyton Shredden and Glidden Ralston, being smaller schools, competed against the schools there in the Class B session. But Blaise Schilling, Trayvon Keeley, Damon Rice all did really well for them. And then, you throw the Roarback boys, like Colton and Landon, in over at Glidden Ralston. They're going to give some of those relays an opportunity to be highly successful. And I can't remember which event they won last night, but they did win. I think it was the 4x100 or something last night. So, there's some really good track athletes around the area right now.
We have been in full swing of everything, too, last night. I think you had golf and soccer and tennis and all of it. Soccer off to a good start. We've got a lot of teams playing really good right now. Kemper girls picked up a big win last night and had a lot of girls score in that game.
Seven girls, different girls scored as they won over Harlan 9-0. You know, poor Addie Antover was probably bored in the goal. She had just one save on the night, so I'm thinking she faced one shot on goal the entire night. So it would be interesting sometime to ask a goalie, hey, when your defense, you know, doesn't let the ball get to you, your offense keeps the ball down on your offensive end the whole time, what do you think about for, you know, 90 minutes or whatever it is of a high school soccer match? Yeah, absolutely. Do you lay down and take a nap for a little while? You know, you can't do that, of course. But, you know, how do you handle that and how do you do it? And then I got to, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the Kemper girls with the win. Such heartbreaking losses for the Carroll girls and the East Sac County girls last night. You know, Carroll plays extremely well against Winterset. And, you know, there's kind of a scramble inside of the box late with a 2-2 score. And Winterset's able to slip in, you know, a goal to pick up the 3-2 win. But I know in reading the messages and stuff that Coach Jorgensen sent last night with the results and the comments that she had, I think she was extremely happy with how that team's starting to come together and the way they played last night. So congrats to them, even though that was a loss. And then for the East Sac County girls, a 40-yard kick ends up bouncing just right and bounces over the head of the goalie, who made an outstanding effort to try and get to it, and they end up losing by one last night as well, 3-2. So, you know, took a 2-0 lead at half, and then, you know, ended up falling in that one. Or actually, we're down 2-0, I think, at half, and then, you know, came back and gave themselves a chance. But, you know, to have a ball kick from 40 yards, yeah. And you know how it is. Both of you guys played soccer. Sometimes you can get a hop that kind of goes awry a little bit, and that kind of what sounds like happened there.
Yeah, and, I mean, it sucks for the Carroll girls because I know they play their heart out. And with those Raccoon River teams, you don't often get a shot like that against a Raccoon River team to be right there at the end. And for East Sac, too, I mean, they've played very well. I know Bob's got a really nice program up there with some girls that are going to go on to the next level to play soccer. But, I mean, both teams will bounce back, and they'll find their way throughout the season.
Yeah, Jersey Sporer with a couple of goals last night for Carroll in that game against Winterset. So nice to see them. And then the Blossy girl, Carla, if I remember correctly. I think she's got, four goals now on the year for the ESAC girls? She had one last night and had a hat trick with three goals in their match before that. So she's off to a really good start. The Kemper boys play to a 2-2 tie. We're still getting somewhat accustomed to the no overtimes and no shootouts, you know, for soccer at the high school level. So we're going to see more ties. Yeah. And last night, Kemper and Harlan finished up with the tie. ESAC boys got their first win of the season. So nice to see them pick up that win. They'll have a tough one tonight over at West Central Valley. But beat a team 4-0, you gain some confidence. You got a chance to maybe get on that little bit of a win streak.
That's something we'll have to ask the guys of the association. Is it going to be a nightmare to figure out playoff situations when you have teams that are 4-4-4 in soccer because you got four ties at the end of the year? But, you know, it sucks when you do get the tie as a high school kid because you leave that uncertainty out on the field of could we have beat them in that situation or whatever. But, you know, it does suck in that sense. But at the same time, for you and me and for Mom and Dad and for coaches and stuff, you're not sitting out there through two overtimes and then penalty shootouts until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
You must have not had to sit through a whole two overtime game and penalty shootout before, because I remember doing the Carroll Kemper game a couple years ago? The boys game, I think, ended up Kemper won but on penalty kicks, but it was a long game.
It was a very long
Trust
game.
Trust me, I played in one, and when you're as good as I am with your backside on the bench, it gets to be a long night as well. But
yeah, you know, and I'm gonna jokingly kind of say this, you know, last week talked about, you know, whether or not you guys would like to play soccer in the summer rather than in the spring. It's starting to build a little steam all of a sudden. Talked to a few of the kids around the area and talked to a coach, you know, yesterday that was like, yeah, I'd much rather have soccer in the summer and play in the warmer weather. They were really excited to have a match last night. First time they said they wouldn't have to be on the sidelines shivering throughout the entire game. Now, the one person that I think would balk
would be Mr. Coach Gary McGill. He just absolutely loves that cold weather and getting, kind of playing those. So I think he's probably glad they had the night off last night so they didn't have to play in the 80-degree weather.
Hopefully they got
to
go tonight. They might have to deal through the rain if it happens. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, I think Gary and Ken are about on the complete polar opposites of weather, because Ken will wear shorts and whatever from the cold time. But I think he enjoys being warmer. And then you got Coach McGill, who I think every time I walk to the sideline, even if it's downpouring, even when we were in a lightning delay the last time I was at the Carroll game, he's like, well, this is great soccer weather.
Yeah. Gary loves the colder weather as far as playing soccer, but he'll bundle up. Ken will go out and shovel in 40 degrees below zero in shorts and flip-flops with no socks on. So, for him, there's never too cold. He gives me a hard time when he sees me wearing jeans in the middle of wintertime, and stuff. So, I was better at it when I was younger, but now that I'm older, I don't deal so well.
Hate the cold. Absolutely hate the cold. We had golf last night too. Golf kind of got off to a slow start because a lot of it was getting canceled there, the first part of the season. But now team's in full effect, and it sounds like we got some kids playing pretty good golf.
We do. I think the one interesting thing that came out of last week for me with golf was I've been out at some extremely cold golf meets before in bad weather. It's interesting, even having a conversation with an area track coach last night, that those days of doing that may be over. You're starting to see administrators, you're starting to see trainers, the medical people that are paying attention to things kind of talking about, you don't need to put kids out there in, freezing temperatures and stuff like that and risk any kind of injury and stuff. So it was kind of interesting to see some golf meets last week when the temperatures were going to be, way down there, that they went ahead and postponed and rescheduled them, a lot of them, for this week when the weather was going to be much better. But you talk about players shooting well. Got to start with Mr. Braxton Vanami. Two under par the other day over at the Carroll National. They played the back nine, so they played just nine holes, but they started on hole 10 and played the back nine, and he parred every hole until 16, and he birdied 16, and then he parred 17, and then he birdied 18 to finish two under par and won the meet by five strokes. But, what an outstanding day and what an outstanding performance for him that day.
Yeah, and I got to give credit as well to Ashton Arnholtz last night, because he goes and golfs down in Manning he goes and golfs in Missouri Valley.
Yep.
They golf over at Missouri Valley. He comes back and runs the 4x1 at the Carroll meet later in the night, and I saw his name and I go, didn't I just look at your name on the golf results and you were in Missouri Valley? But, props to him to getting up there and doing that as well. But some of the Carroll girls last night, I know, got a runner-up medalist there. When you look at everything else, Kuhn off to a great start for the girls last night, and they had the medalist, runner-up medalist, and then they had third place. And out of the girls that you would think would be great golfers, guess who their third place was?
It was Anna Hart, wasn't
it? It was Anna Hart starting out the year. So, but they're going to be a pretty good team this season, I think.
And when you're an athlete an Anna Hart, I don't think she'd really golfed much in her life. You can pick up clubs and stuff like that at that age. Comes pretty quick and pretty easy. To say that she hasn't put in work. I'm not saying that at all. But, sometimes good athletes, things just kind of naturally come to them a little bit easier.
Maybe that's why I'm not very good at golf then.
Well, you're better than Mason and certainly better than Jackson.
Jackson's over there watching right now.
He's job shadowing, and, he might be watching on the feed. Jackson, get back to class and study a little bit before you come in. But I know those two played over the weekend and everything. But, I'm really excited. Caleb Gaffney had a big night last night for the South Central Calhoun boys. So I think we've got some really good golfers in the area, and we're going to have a really good team. And last night they all got a chance to go out and play. I think, what was it, Audubon was the only area team that we didn't have in action last night.
And they've golfed pretty good so far to start the season too.
Yeah, and speaking of, dual sport kids, what Ashton did was outstanding. You and I were talking last night at the track meet that Aiden Kiergaard down in Audubon, elite in track and elite in golf, and kind of like Ashton. So didn't have to do the dual last night, but tell you what, and he's one of those strange guys. I kind of kidded him, and when I say strange, it's more the situation, not him. But, I said to him the other day when I interviewed him down at the meet down at Audubon last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, when I think of you as a quarterback, I think of you hitting that crease and you got that speed and you just kind of roll away from everybody and you just run away from everybody with good speed. He's you're out here running like 800s in distance races. And he's like, well, yeah, I kind of do whatever coach needs me to do. So I'm like, he can be successful in distant races. He can be successful in sprints. So you don't think a lot of times of a quarterback that runs away from the secondary as being a guy that runs distance. But he reminds me a little bit of Abe Polzin, who ran for IKM Manning, because he'd be a guy that would go out and win a mile and then he'd turn around and win the 100 meters in, you know, in the same meet, and you don't find too many guys that are capable of doing that. And he's still running up in Minnesota. I think St. Olaf, if I remember correctly, is where he ended up going. But, Aiden's an outstanding golfer as well and has had some pretty low scores so far this season.
Yeah, and I kind of joked as well, is that when you went down and interviewed him, he shot a 36 in about the worst conditions possible.
Yep.
And it was raining, pouring, all that, and shoots at 36. And I'm like, hopefully you see that consistency. But, you know, he exploded on the scene in football.
Yep.
And then after that, it was like – good football player, good basketball player, good kid in track, golf. We're going to see with baseball probably. But, you know, I'm glad to see that there are kids like that still that will do all of those sports and be good in all of those sports.
Yeah, nice to have a five-sport star. we struggle sometimes to even get four sports, and now, you know, with Aiden, we may have a five-sport star. So we appreciate that, and it makes our job a lot of fun, that's for sure.
We will step away. We'll take a break. Be back talking some more local sports here. You're listening to CB Sports Network Rewind on KCIM.
I'm Jamie North with Custom Technology Solutions, the largest IT company in Carroll, supporting over 200 customers. Cyber threats are real, and most businesses never see them coming until it's too late. We'll keep your data secure and your systems running with our managed IT services subscription. Call CTS at 877-287-1007 for your free consultation today, or visit us on the web at carrollitsupport.com.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
CB Sports Network Rewind for you here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM, as well as, if you haven't tuned in yet, we're live on our YouTube page right now as well.
Yeah, last week with the changeover of the name to the official CB Sports Network Rewind on KCM, we decided to go back. We used to do some video of this show years and years ago. And then a couple of years ago when you were here, Casey, as the assistant sports director, we threw it out on our CB Sports Network Facebook page, and then we kind of got away from that. But
I think people just commented how much they didn't like looking at me.
Yeah, well, now they got the backside of you, right?
That's the better side, right?
Yeah, but we've decided to throw it out on our YouTube channel. So I know when everybody's working, it's hard for people to probably, you know, tune in and really focus in on watching things. But, you know, it will podcast out to the YouTube channel, so hopefully we'll get a chance for people to enjoy getting a chance to watch and listen to the Rewind program on our YouTube channel. So
we haven't got the chance to touch on tennis yet. Boys tennis getting in full effect. Kemper played last night. You know, what have you seen from them? I know Audubon's been doing a couple of matches too as well, so far throughout the early part of the season.
Yeah, Audubon, young team, a lot of inexperience, took some huge steps in just a couple of days late last week, played and got beat to start the season, and then went down to the Shenandoah tournament on Saturday and played much, much better as the day went on and took some really nice steps forward. Marissa Soder, their head coach, does a nice job with them. And then the Kemper boys, you got to tip your cap to Landon Potterbaum and Jordan Tryon, two guys that have played really well so far, both of them picking up wins last night. Jordan was kind of a late addition to the team. Haven't had a chance to talk with head coach Rusty Wintermote, but Mason and I went and covered their media day, and there was five kids, and Jordan was not a one of them. And I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but you know, we took the team picture, and then we get the first results of the first match of the season, and all of a sudden Jordan Tryon is magically on the team and seems to have some pretty good skill at tennis. Probably didn't get that from dad, but he seems to be out there and playing pretty well.
Yeah, it shocks me that we have such low numbers in tennis, because I felt like that's something, you know, in the spring, especially with Audubon and Kemper, that we've had good numbers in.
We have. And the one thing in the 27 years I've been in this business, and 22 now in Carroll, that I've realized is that sports tend to kind of go, you know, on a roller coaster a little bit. You know, I remember Tyler Christensen, the Audubon boys wrestling coach, saying something to me this past season. So I said to him, I'm like, you've got some really good numbers. And it wasn't too many years prior to that, there was some discussion of whether or not them and Kuhn, who was down in numbers on the boys side, might have to share in stuff. Now both of them have really good numbers. And Coach Christensen said, he goes, well, it's popular and fun to be a wrestler again, where we had to stretch there where it wasn't. Well, tennis got really big there for a while here, especially with Kemper. Audubon had some good numbers, but Kemper had some really good teams that were making some deep runs. And you got to wonder now, soccer's growing, track numbers slightly up a little bit. Golf numbers have exploded at both Kemper and Audubon on the boys' side of things. So is tennis going to be in that little dip? Not saying it's going anywhere, but is it going to dip in numbers maybe for a couple of years and then, you know, come back? Because it always seems like the sports that dip eventually – You know you get a different generation in, and all of a sudden they like playing the sports that maybe the generation in front of them didn't like to play so much.
Yeah. We touched on it a little bit here earlier in the show, but last week for really people to qualify for the Drake Relays before they get underway, how are we looking? Do you guys expect to get quite a few kids down to Drake, or you know, how do you think the numbers are looking there?
I mean, there's obviously kind of our big three of who we expect could make a run at it, with Trayvon Keeley, Cal Hayden, and Tristan Gordon, but You never know in this week. I mean, somebody could go out there and have one of those meets where they just, everything's just kind of working for them. But, you know, I think Trayvon's got to get to 6'7" for his jump. I don't think either Cal or Tristan have qualified yet.
Nope.
Because part of that also is with all the meets getting canceled, you lose the opportunity to qualify. So it's kind of, if you got one today, if you got one Thursday, and I think is the cutoff Thursday or is it Friday?
Friday.
So if you got one Friday, then you can possibly have a chance.
I wouldn't be shocked if some coaches, especially for kids like Trayvon, who's coming off a state title, you know, to get him down there to Drake, he might just go to a meet himself and try to get that.
Well, they tried to do that. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday last week. I think it was on Friday. It was another one of those days where everything got canceled on us, but they were going to take Trayvon only over to a meet at Van Meter to try and give him an opportunity to get to that qualifying height, and then that meet got canceled, as did every other track meet on that day. But not one coach has said anything to us about one kid that's qualified yet, but as Mason said, we've got three that you would think,
and
you know, would have a pretty good chance. It would be an odd year if we don't get somebody
and I think for people, when we talk about the low numbers for Drake, it's harder to qualify for Drake than it is for the state track meet.
Yes.
You because you're not just competing against, if I understand correctly, you're not competing just against your class, you are at the state meet, you're competing against everybody.
Yep. So, you know, they'll take like 96 4x100 teams and stuff like that. They'll take a lot of those, which kind of bodes well sometimes for some kids and some teams. But yeah, you're competing against, you know, the Valleys and the Dowlings and the Waukee Northwests and, you know, the Peyton Shredans and the Arrivas, and everybody is all thrown into the same mix when it comes to Drake, and they have a cutoff, and if you don't get to that cutoff, then you don't make it, no matter how good you are. And you know, it's for state track, you're if you're a 1A school or a 2A school, you're competing just against the 1A kids and the 2A kids, and you have a meet that you go to. That's one specific meet that you try to get yourself qualified. So you could have struggled all year long, and if you go out and have your best performance of the year at that state qualifying meet, you get yourself to state.
Yeah.
By the way, we're talking about kind of high school track here. Did you guys see that an 18-year-old kid this last week broke Usain Bolt's record in the 200?
Out of what state?
Yeah.
I don't remember, but
don't either.
I watched him run it, and I go, that's a fast kid.
Yeah.
But he went out there and ran it at a high school meet as an 18-year-old and beat Usain Bolt's record. And everyone, I saw it on social media, and I'm like, yeah, that's, you don't see that too often. But speaking of the Drake Relays, those are the type of things you do see down there, because I know I went down last year, and, you know, I didn't really fully understand what Drake was right away until we walked into it. And I'm like, that's I'm like, that's some of the Iowa girls. I'm like, that's Nebraska. I'm like, yeah. It's not just high school. Yeah. You get Olympians, college, everything kind of going on there.
Yeah, I recommend, even how much fun the state tournament is, to go down and watch some of the records you've seen broken and even world records that get announced.
Right.
I would recommend getting to both just because Drake is so cool because of the athletes you get to see, and especially with the state tournament.
Yeah, even if you're not a fan of track, mm-hmm. I think that both of those events, the Drake Relays and also the state meet, if you're a sports fan, as you said, for me, the state track meet's maybe my favorite state event to cover. And part of that is it's really long days. We're on our feet from 7:30 in the morning when we get there until sometimes 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, and you're busy. But I love it because, even if we're busy covering one of our kids, you constantly are hearing, that's the third fastest time in the United States this year, and it might not even have been a kid, but you got to watch that kid compete. And it's just amazing what, the athletes do down there at the state track meet.
And it's one thing I knew when you took me down my first year, and it was the only time I went, you're like, this might be the best tournament that we have, because you get to see all those, world records and national records broken, and from, it might even be from the smallest school in Iowa, and that's just fascinating and amazing.
It is. It's very much fun and looking forward to it. I know we're winding down time. I do want to announce, we're going to have a little bit of an announcement that I do want to talk about next week. We're a little over a year away from something that we're going to be adding to what mm-hmm. we do here at the CB Sports Network. But we'll unveil more details coming up next week, and then it'll be something that is going to happen every month that we're going to have something. So I'm really excited and looking forward to it. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people voicing their opinion once we start doing it. And I'm okay with that because, I want to hear what people think. But I'm really excited about the announcement that we're going to make next week.
Are we missing anything before we get off? You guys got another busy night tonight and everything like that. Sports schedules are up on the website.
Yep, sports schedules are on the website. Shouldn't be too bad tonight. We only have the one track meet. Coon Rapids Baird going over to Earlham for the co-ed tonight. So track's the one that, even though I love dealing with it, it's one of my favorite sports to cover. It is the one that this time of the year takes the longest to put together on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report. So.
This has been Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network's KCIM Sports Rewind show here for you on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it up in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380.